Hello. Welcome to the Future 16 podcast. I am your host, Digby Hilliard, and today I have joined the founder of Future 16, Onika Rahman. Say hello.
Hello.
So we both go to college at Elam School, which is a school for arts normally, but we are both doing the new film and TV course.
The media course.
The media course, which is very exciting.
Yeah. Based in Bromley by Bow. Opened this year?
No, it didn't. This school opened this year. It opened 4 years ago. Very, very exciting school. And today, we're going to be talking about movies.
Yeah.
More specifically, the BFI Film Festival.
Yeah, which is on now and ending on the 20th?
Yeah, I think so. The 20th.
Cool.
I got, what's it called? Do you know Audience Club?
BFI Audience Club.
No. Audience Club is an organisation that when stuff isn't filled out, like cinemas, like the BFI, and like stand-up comedy, they fill out the seats for like £2.50. So you get the tickets for £2. So when I saw Cars 3, those tickets are £2.50 because I got them from Audience Club, which is pretty impressive.
I paid £17 for my tickets.
I got such a good deal. I'm not a BFI member.
I'm not either.
I'm a
BFI Film Academy graduate, but I'm not a member.
I'm sorry.
One thing you need to understand about me and Digby is we're a huge fan of Cars.
Cars
3.
Specifically.
Yeah.
Nice. So what movie did you choose from the films in Thrill?
So I picked Good Time.
Nice. Which I'm going to go find the website for. Talk a little bit.
I found out about it a long time ago. I saw it on The Weeknd's Instagram.
Oh, nice.
And he was like, oh, this movie is like the greatest film of our generation.
The greatest film of it, yeah.
It's like a bank heist.
This one.
Who's the director of it?
The director is Ben Stadif. Oh. That's not his name. Joseph. Oh, the two brothers did it.
Oh, that's pretty
That's
sick.
Cool. It's Josh, not Joseph. I don't know why I read that wrong. It's pretty back. Oh, it's already out.
Yeah, it's already out. But it's
have you not seen it?
It's out in America, but it's not out in England, probably.
Oh, that's very upsetting.
It's at London Film Festival on the 18th. So
I chose the movie Thrill, which is not Thrill. Sorry, it's under the category Thrill. I think it's called The Immortal Sword. I could be wrong.
Oh, what's that about?
It is The Blade of the Immortal. There you go. It's The BFI have lots of heavy connections to older movies. Have you seen Seven Samurai?
Yeah, I've watched that.
Really, really good film.
I watched it on 70mm, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
That kind of film I'm really into. That kind of culty film where it's like quite niche. I love those kinds of films. I think that's where art in film really shines. Stuff like Donnie Darko.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that I think is really nice. Anything else to say about Good Time? What's it about?
It's a bank heist, and it's like the visuals about it, like the adverts. I mean, trailers.
Trailers, not adverts.
Yeah, not. Look fantastic. It's like Neon Demon and Logan Lucky combined into one film.
You're selling it to me, I'll be honest.
And it looks amazing. I haven't seen anything from these directors before, but yeah.
I haven't heard the studio.
What studio is it?
I'm gonna find out. Wait. Mainly the studios I like are like
A27.
Have you seen A Ghost Story?
I haven't watched it yet.
Horrible. It's a terrible. It's the only A27 movie I don't like. There's a 15-minute bit of just a woman eating cake. And the movie is 90 minutes long. So 15 minutes on a 90-minute film, that's 10% of the movie.
It looked amazing.
It's all done in 4x5, like old-timey framing.
Yeah.
And I just think that's just pretentious. Like, if you think your movie's good enough to not be fully immersed in it, it's just stupid.
Yeah. I think the best film that actually used this aspect ratio right is Grand Budapest Hotel.
Definitely.
One of the only films that can use aspect ratio.
That's a brilliant film as well. Yeah. Wes Anderson, oh my god, he can have my kids.
Can have all our kids. Like,
Jesus, he's so creative.
He's just so different. That's yeah. what I love about him.
It is. It's brilliant. Like, when did he come into the film business?
I think it was during the 90s, actually.
In the 90s. Because yeah. film in the 90s got very kind of like robotic-y and not yeah. robotic, what am I trying to say? Like, futuristic. That's yeah. what film in the 90s was yeah. like. And he came in, he grounded the whole thing.
It's like after the Spielberg
era. Yeah, the Spielberg era of like the most epic thing you can do. That's yeah. what the mainstream movie was like. And Wes Anderson came in and was successful being just doing him.
Yeah.
Which is pretty goddamn impressive. I love Tenenbaums. The Royal Tenenbaums. No. You never watched The Royal Tenenbaums?
I haven't watched it.
Brilliant film. It's best Ben Stiller performance of all time.
I don't know. Ben Stiller had good performances.
Ben Stiller, he was good. He's good.
So who is your favourite actor, actress?
Actor, actress. Jesus, that's a hard question. I don't know. I have a big affinity for Woody Harrelson. I love Woody Harrelson. I think he's brilliant. I love John Goodman. Yeah. I think he's really good. It's such a difficult question. Not typical, like, I don't like really like Leonardo DiCaprio. I think he's pretty overrated. Yeah. That sounds so like, oh, but like, he's not that great of an actor. He's good.
He is very good, but like, he's just too.
What about you? What's your favourite actor or actress?
Ashley Walters.
Ashley Walters? Never even heard of her.
No, it's a guy.
Oh, never even heard of him.
Have you watched Top Boy?
Yes.
He is the main actor from Top Boy. And oh, Top nice. Boy is one of my favourite TV shows of all time.
Ashley Walters, he looks sexy.
He follows Elam.
Does he?
Saying.
That's pretty cool.
Shout out to Elam.
Shout out to Elam. He should do a masterclass. I'll come along for that.
I think everyone would.
Yeah.
Kano's a great actor as well.
Kano?
Kano is
a... Kano?
He was in Top Boy.
You just love Top Boy?
I love Top Boy. Top Boy is such good...
I've seen a couple episodes, but like...
I love it so much. And like, Drake's coming out with season 3.
Excited for Top Boy. I should rewatch it. I should rewatch a little bit of it because of how enthusiastic you are.
Other than like people from Top Boy, I would probably say Michael Cera.
I love him. I love Michael Cera.
So like, he hasn't aged a bit from Superbad.
Is he like 30?
He's like 40, isn't he?
No, he ain't 40. Michael Cera ain't 40. He looks 12. Wait, let's look this up. Michael Cera is not.
Michael Cera is a review of the week.
Have you seen? He has really good movie taste as well.
Michael Cera?
Yeah. He likes a lot of... I've not spelled his name. I've butchered his name. Michael Cera, age. A-D-G. D? What am I talking about? 29.
He's old.
I said 30. That was pretty close. Yeah, but like, he looks 12.
He probably is 12.
Yeah.
I think his performances and like...
So, yeah, some of his stuff is brilliant, like, as an actor.
Superbad. That was amazing.
It's not amazing.
Superbad is so good. I don't know if you're joking. Good.
It's not amazing. It's pretty good.
It's a comical masterpiece.
It's Seth Rogen's first writing.
Yeah. I was watching them rehearsing the script, and it was just as good as them without like the movie. It was just them sitting at a table with the scripts, just reading out the lines. It was hilarious. I loved it so much.
I like Michael Cera. I think he's really good. But you don't say Jonah Hill is super bad.
Jonah Hill is incredibly talented. Yeah. But I feel like if I said that, you would have not taken me seriously.
Yeah.
Like even Michael Cera, if you say that he's one of your favourite actors, he still is like, oh, are you taking
I said
piss?
Woody Harrelson and I said John Goodman. That's a pretty good answer.
Yeah, that's
compared to Michael Cera. No, he's a really good actor.
Yeah.
Does he ever want an Oscar or an Academy Award or anything?
No, he hasn't won anything. Like, I feel bad for the kid.
Kid, he's fucking he's 15 years older than you, mate.
But he's like 3 years younger than me.
He is about 3 years. He looks about 3 years younger than me.
Oh, that's funny.
So, with the... I don't know what I was going to say now. I just completely lost my track of thought. I'm really sorry. Yeah. Are you going to go to... Yeah, what I was saying about Audience Club a long time ago is all of these movies are on there for
£2.50. £2.50.
Yeah.
Boy.
Boy. It's pretty impressive.
It's like £5 for under 25s. And I love what, like, Richmix, Rich ICA, BFI are doing, like, £5 for, like, under 25s. I loved it.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I use that every Monday. I go see a film. Like, I want to Richmix.
Like, the week... Like, BFI is £3 per ticket.
Mm.
And that's every single ticket. That's previews as well. So I could have watched Cars 3 and, for £3, but no, I had to pay full price because I'm an idiot.
Richmix also, they do a lot of films that... like, old films. They have screenings of really old films. So recently, I think they got The Shining going, which I really want to see with my dad because I used to go see films with him a lot because he's a lovely boy.
BFI is showing Lawrence of Arabia on 70mm. Oh,
nice.
And yeah, I've watched it twice already.
I've never watched that film.
There was this quote from the CEO of BFI, which I fell in love with.
Like, that is big.
Amanda Neville, she was like, the industry desperately needs young, new creative blood. I love Amanda Neville. She's one of my favourite people of all time. Like, I've seen her, but I was too scared to, like, to walk up like... You are my hero. Like, it's just so powerful how so many people are trying to get young people into the film industry.
Definitely. Because the film industry for years has been talented people and the people they know.
Yeah.
That's what the film industry has been.
Like, Elam, I think that's the pinnacle of people trying to get other, like, young people from anywhere into film. Because Elam is...
It's pretty central. Pretty central London.
Yeah,
it's like, and there are people coming from outside of London to get here. Like, it's not a rare occasion to be like, oh, I got up at 4 today.
Yeah.
I'm really lucky I get up at 8 and I just, like, take the bus.
Oh, yeah, I get up at 8.
Yeah.
There's this girl I know, she travelled from... She moved from Spain.
Yeah.
She lives by herself now.
Jesus.
Just to come to Elam.
Just to come to Elam.
That's mental.
From Spain.
Spain. And she's incredibly talented.
Of course she is. If you're moving to go to an art school, you're going to have to be pretty talented.
Like, and this was last year. Elam didn't actually have a proper building last year. And she still took that risk. Like,
and this building is mega. Like, it is lovely. The recording studio, the facilities.
Like, everything. Like, if you come, like, if you're ever in Bromley by Bow, hit up me or Digby. We'll give you a tour.
Give you a tour around Elam.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's actually
amazing.
How'd you find out about it?
I googled film schools in London after I went to the Brit school. Open Day.
Same.
I hated it.
Hated it.
It was
absolutely
so
hated it.
Commercial.
This is how we're going to advertise the Elam. Just slag off the Brit school. But
I'm sorry, Brit school. But Brit school is a good school, but
for music, it's quite good.
Yeah, but
And their facilities for film, at least, compared to Elam, is disgusting. Like, it shouldn't be legal how bad the facilities for film is.
Let me just tell you.
But we can't tell you.
Yeah,
they always tell us that.
Like, right now, it's still good because...
Oh, it's brilliant. Like, it's the best film school in London. Best film college in London.
World. Straight up, world. I'm going to argue with anyone who opposes me on that. Best film school, music school, game school for 16 to 19-year-olds
in the world. You could get a very big case to say that.
It's like, Elam is completely something different.
It is, yeah. And really is.
I'm just...
And the community and the spirit here is unprecedented.
I'm just like, it's really heartwarming about, like, how hard people are trying to get us into the industry. Mm. How they're trying to change the industry.
Yeah, because, yeah. And the film, yeah, what I was saying about the film industry is still talented people and their mates.
Yeah.
Have you got any ties to the industry? Like, any...
Running and stuff.
Running, that's it.
Yeah.
But you don't know anyone who knows someone.
I've met people.
Nice.
But, like, other than that, I don't.
Nothing.
Like,
because the biggest tie I've got to the industry is my mate's dad is an advertising director, and I did work experience for one of his mates. And so, yeah, I was telling you on the train that, like, I'm probably going to do advertising directing because that's what I got the biggest ties in the industry to, and that's how you get a job. And I want a job. I'd like a job. If anyone listening can employ me, that'd be great.
Digby is an Oscar-winning...
I'll send you my CV. Well, do you have a CV?
Yeah, I have a CV. It's on the Future 16 website.
Is it?
Yeah, if you
That's
click on...
mental. I don't have a CV. Not yet, at least.
Yeah, I had to make one for the Rich Mix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Rich Mix Mixer thing.
Yeah. I was like, if you're a young filmmaker, like 2 years ago, I would say it's all about the people that you know. But now, what I would say, do the BFI Film Academy, go to ELAM, and then, like...
I haven't done the BFI Film Academy.
Do it next
I probably
year.
Should. Yeah, I will really want to. Are you going to do it next year as well?
No, you're only allowed to do it once.
You're only allowed to do it once?
Yeah.
No, okay.
Mija's doing it this year.
Nice.
Yeah. But, like, it's insane how everything's just changed in 2 years because of, like, places like
BFI
ELAM,
and
BLAM.
ELAM and the BFI. Yeah, no, it's crazy. Because there's a real sense of hope around the school, because it's like, without the school, we probably would be all a little bit... it's weird to say it, but we'll be a little bit sad because we wouldn't really want to be doing something we want to do.
What would you be doing if you weren't here?
I would probably be cooking. You sound like you think it's a joke, but like I used to work in kitchens a lot, doing, like, you know how in a film set you're a runner.
Oh yeah.
In the cooking world, you're a sous chef. So I just did a load of those jobs and a lot of not like big chefs. Like, I'm not talking like Blumenthal's, but a lot of chefs are
big
like
cook.
Big cook, little cook. But a lot of chefs are like, this boy's a good one, because my mum used to be a chef.
Oh, that's pretty sick.
And so she got me a little bit into the industry, so I'd probably be cooking, and that's my fallback. If films don't work, I'm cooking.
I absolutely hated my last year. I was at maths and science school. I was studying A-level English Lit, politics, psychology, and philosophy.
That is harsh.
I just wanted to end it all. It was so boring. It was like, it's weird because every day at ELAM, I finish at like 6:30.
Yeah. Because I'm staying off to school every single day because I want to do something.
And then
you make
as soon as I get home, I'm doing more stuff. But when I was at the old school, I would finish at like 1 because I didn't want to do anything. And I think it's powerful that there's opportunities. Like,
and there's a lot of kids, unfortunately, there are a lot of kids just like you that don't have opportunities like ELAM or just how you were, that don't know what they want to do and are stuck in an A-level school where they're just upset.
Yeah.
They're just really, really unhappy, which is horrible. What would you be doing if you couldn't get into film?
Oh, that's a hard question. I don't want to
job spectrum-wise, what would you like to do? Like, industry-wise?
That's actually
if it isn't the film industry, what is it?
That's actually such a hard question. I would probably say journalism. Because
like, you'd be good at journalism.
I wouldn't.
You would. No, yeah, you would.
Like, I think it was like, if you're good at English at secondary school, teachers go to you like, oh, there's like 4 jobs you can do. Like,
you can be a journalist. You can write for a newspaper. That's a journalist.
One. Yeah, that's a
journalist. You can be a writer, which is, oh my God, my sister, who's 24 years old, is trying to be a writer, and she is broke and stuck in Australia.
What?
She doesn't have any money. She's stuck in Australia. It's not good. And they're trying to deport her. Because her visa ran out. Her work visa ran out.
That's so sad.
Yeah, they're trying to deport her, but she has no money.
My microphone's good.
So, yeah, don't try and be a writer because you'll get stuck in Australia.
Like, if you enjoy writing...
She's a brilliant writer.
Go for it. But
she's an absolutely brilliant writer. And if ever I made a film, I'd get her to write for it.
That's
because
dope.
Yeah.
A Hilliard production.
A Hilliard production. I get my sister wants to do acting as well.
Oh.
So I'll do a full Hilliard production. She can write it. I can direct it. So the other sister can star in it.
That's
That'd be
dope.
A full Hilliard production. That'd be beautiful.
That's dope.
What do your siblings do?
They all go to medical school.
Because you're Asian.
Yeah. a bit of context here. Digby is...
a Caucasian male.
I am Asian. So, yeah, my parents don't like me very much. No. Like, my parents like me, but they don't like...
They don't like me. They don't like you. Yeah. That's going to be fun. Yeah. Wait, so what do you mean by that? I do not want to get deep into that because...
I don't mind getting deep into that. Cool. Like, it's been a bit wild.
What makes you say your parents don't like you?
No, they like me. It's just they don't like what I'm doing.
Oh, they want you to be a doctor?
No, they're like... They know I can't be a doctor because I'm not that smart. Like, I think... My dad, every single day, goes to me... Oh, why don't you become like a therapist?
A therapist?
Or a electrician.
That is like, bizarre.
Do you want me to kill myself?
Do you want me to kill myself? A therapist? That's just odd. Like, I wouldn't ever, like, see you as a therapist. Like,
you can hear my voice right now, and it's not a nice voice.
It's not calming.
I know, like, 90% of you people have just been listening to Digby right now.
I don't think I have a nice voice. I have a horrible voice.
I love your voice.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. That's actually a really good compliment. I'm well chuffed with that.
Let's get back to films.
The next slide of the script says favourite films and future of film. Oh. So what's your favourite film?
Oh, Yakuza Ozu... A Tokyo Story.
Lovely.
It's brilliant. Like, everything about Ozu is, like, what I want to do. He made this in 1960, same time, like, Hitchcock and, like, the birth of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, exploded. Like, and it was like, here comes Ozu with his film about respecting parents and... no fancy camera work. What he did was he just placed cameras and then left them.
So very natural.
Yeah, he didn't do any zooms. He didn't move the camera at all. The camera was like, there was one camera per scene. That's it.
That's it. That's crazy, man.
And like,
because Hitchcock is really notorious for revolutionizing film and camera work.
Yeah.
Like, he did that whole film where there was no, or seemingly no cuts.
Yeah.
And things like that. He really... It's like he reinvented the game, but I haven't really heard of his work. I feel uncultured now. All my favorite films are like quite like modern indie films, things like that. Not indie. I feel like a prick when I say indie.
Pride.
Pride's a really good film. I really like Pride. Yeah. I like Pride a little bit too much. I think.
You guys should watch Pride. That's
Pride is a proper quality. For the films that we've been watching after school, because we watch a film every Tuesday, we've watched Dread. Which we watched yesterday. I liked it.
It was really bad, but really good
at the same time. I was kind of upset by liking it so much.
It was like the most cheesiest. Let me just like tell you this one line from the film. So every single policeman in this city, it's like a dystopian city, is called a judge. And this is what he says to the main boss. Get ready.
Yeah, I'm ready. I've seen it. I know what you're going to say.
It's judgment time. he said it like this. It's judgment time.
I'll be honest, the main character wasn't very relatable.
Yeah, he was a robot.
Yeah, he was a robot. But like that, the reason why like Robocop and things like that are so successful, and Terminator. is because of, yeah, things like that. Because, you can't really relate with the main protagonist. So the person the audience has to relate to is the psychic, which I've got her name. What's her name? Do you know? The psychic.
Let's just say Kate.
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 It's just Kate. Yeah. So we watched Pride. We watched Dread. We watched...
Woman in Black.
Which was... Oh! I don't know why Mick chose that. I really don't.
Such a bad film.
We watched Get Out, which is really good.
Get Out was incredible. I loved it.
One of the better modern films. As an idea, crazy. Like,
I was actually watching this this infographic video by Vox yesterday about rotten tomatoes.
What a tomato was?
Yeah, it was like how linear the scale is on rotten tomatoes. Like,
I thought you said what a tomato was, and I was like, how does this relate to the conversation? What is a tomato? I was like, all right. Yeah. We're going a bit off piece. Yeah, rotten tomatoes, what about
so, it? So it was about how it's either... There's 3 points for rotten tomatoes.
Oh, and everything above a 3 is...
Yeah. No, there's rotten.
Yeah.
Fresh.
Yeah.
And then certified fresh.
Certified fresh. That's
and, like, rotten tomatoes is, like, the most, like, viewed... Like,
critic website.
Yeah. Which,
I use IMDb more than Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Because, but, like, I don't know, actually. Why do you do that?
Well, I think if you go on, like, Amazon right now, if you try and buy a film, Rotten Tomatoes... No. What am I talking about? It's IMDb that shows it.
It's yeah. Because I think IMDb is much more...
IMDb is an Amazon company.
Yeah. But IMDb, like, it's much more critic-based.
Yeah.
More than audience-based, and I do not trust audiences. Because audiences have bad taste.
Like Yelp or...
Yeah.
Or what's the other thing called?
I mean, I think for things, other medias, like, things that people are passionate about, like video games, I would trust an audience more than a...
Yeah.
Audience member more, maybe just because I know less about video games than I do about films.
Yeah.
But I think they're much more passionate about their art.
Like, film viewers are very passionate.
Yeah, a proper film. No, extremely passionate, but I'm just saying audience... Everyone watches films. Yeah. Not everyone watches plays video games.
Yeah, well, it's like some, like, people in film are, like, super pretentious.
They're
oh, I don't want to watch this film because it wasn't shot in anamorphic.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
The camera does not matter at all.
Doesn't
I will watch a film on an iPhone.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's not that it doesn't matter.
Story over...
Obviously, story over, like, technical aspects.
Like, I have this friend who was like... I don't want to diss him, but...
Keep him named.
Yeah, but he spent, like... It spent like $15,000 on like rental on equipment, but he hasn't finished his story of his.
It's just stupid.
Short film. Yeah. Like,
that's not how you succeed.
If you
have an idea, people respond much more to ideas than technique. Because anyone can do a technique. You can learn a technique. You can't really learn an idea.
Yeah, and like if you're like starting off, I don't think you need like an RV or anything.
Yeah.
Because the cost to like edit it. Like, I don't want to be paying actors like £2 per hour. If what's it called? I would only pay £2. I would only pay an actor minimum wage if, like, I'm not spending the money on anything else. Like, why would I justify paying $15,000 on a camera if I'm paying my actors who are doing like everything for my film?
Yeah.
Minimum wage.
They're creating the film.
Yeah.
They're making it a reality.
I would much rather spend my money on actors rather than
cameras.
Super.
Because literally, no one really cares about cameras. You can't really tell the difference.
Yeah.
If you watch YouTube, you can't really tell the difference to a GoPro and a Canon.
Yeah.
There obviously is a difference. It's much crisper. It's generally more pleasing to the eye.
It's just dynamic range.
Yeah, dynamic. It really doesn't make that much of a difference.
Like, I was at the BFI and I was doing this screening. So there was this one guy, Arri Alexa, $50,000, and this another guy, A7S, $1,000. Couldn't tell the difference. And this isn't compression or anything. This is BFI grade cinema screens, and it still looked amazing.
Yeah, it's because £1,000 to spend on a camera, you're gonna get amazing quality.
Yeah.
Pretty much no matter what.
Yeah,
and like, amazing, they suit up pretty well next to each other, don't they?
Yeah.
I like that. I really, really like that. I think that's pretty clever. So we're on the topic of favourite films and the future of film.
Oh, you start.
The future of film.
Yeah.
I think virtual reality.
What?
So the video game. Are we talking a different... What do you mean by the future of film? Like, what film, what direction?
Yeah, where film's do you think going film's in? Going to be in the next 10 years?
10 years. I genuinely think someone's going to start up one centre... Where you just don't need to book a movie time. Just pop on virtual reality headset and you have a full immersive experience.
That sounds dope.
It is dope. That is dope. And life's, and then the whole world is going to be full of people who go do drugs and then go to those centers.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
We need to move out of, like, film, this film, like, idea that we had. Like the experience of film hasn't changed since 1960.
Yeah.
And it's just starting to change. I think people need to get out of the mindset and, like,
talking
realize...
Talking about Shrek 4D.
Yeah!
Alton Tower, not Alton Towers, Chesting Order Adventures, Shrek 4D. What? Oh, no way, it wasn't recording.
No, we were. No. I had a heart attack.
No
I
way.
A bloody
I was actually
heart attack.
Freaked the fuck out.
I just... Oh, my God.
Jesus.
Intermission.
Also, the best part when we were talking about Shrek 4D.
Yeah, we've been recording for 30 minutes.
Have you been to Shrek 4D?
I haven't.
It's really good. It's like Shrek and when he like talks, like water spits at you because he's spitting.
Oh, yeah, that's a
Shrek 4D.
4D cinema in Vince Cross, I think.
Yeah, that's not really the future cinema, I'm going to be honest.
It's so gimmicky.
It's like, really gimmicky. It's like, but if you go once, then you've gone every single time.
Like, have you ever been to Cineworld D-Box?
No.
It looks horrible.
What's it about?
It's the same film, but your chair vibrates.
Stupid.
It's so
That is stupid. But, like, I'm so with the virtual reality, like, the center, because you don't need to book times. Not everyone has to start at the same time. Yeah. You just go in a little room, you pop your headset on, and you can really immerse yourself in the world. Yeah. Like, that is proper, like, if you're talking about conveying a story, that's probably the best way to do it right now with this technology.
Yeah.
What about you?
Virtual reality is, like...
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Have you ever been on a virtual reality set?
I've been on every single one.
There was in Westfield one day. There was an Oculus stand, and I went and tried that there, and it was really cool.
By the way, Elam has every single VR headset.
They do.
We have Oculus, we have Oculus. PlayStation, and we have HTC.
The PlayStation one's really cool. The game students are lucky, man.
I haven't tried them yet.
They're lucky.
I think I might just go into the game
just
studio.
Just go and just nick it, yeah. Just like, I wanted to try. Because the PS4, even though it's like...
By the way, there are PS4s and actually, you get the point. I said nothing.
There are lots of PS4s. There are PS4s in like
There's
rooms.
PS4s and Xboxes in every single room.
In every single room. It's crazy.
But they're highly guarded and Elam is very hard to get into, so don't try it.
don't catch it. No, you can get through that door. You can get in to Elam. There's no way you could get into Nick PS4.
Yeah.
There are two just big old doors that are protected.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Exactly.
Talking about how to break into our school.
Don't break into our school.
Please don't break into our school. But yeah, what about you? What do you think the future of film is? With my cracking answer.
Oh, I think, like, I definitely agree with your answer. But I think the actual production of film is going to change.
Yeah, of course, everything changes.
Like, I think we're going to be seeing a lot less... massive cameras on set, they're going to be a lot smaller.
Yeah. Obviously, because you can do a lot more with a smaller camera and just technology changes.
Yeah, and like, who wants to carry around a camera?
Some
this
big ass cameras.
It's heavy.
Yeah.
It's heavy, man.
It's heavy.
I think like actual production teams are going to be different. Producers are going to
smaller,
have...
I think.
Yeah, producers are going to have, like, a smaller role on set.
Mm.
And I feel like runners are going to be treated a lot more nicer.
Just because you want that to happen.
Yeah. Like, with Future 16, it's like... I've been producer for Future 16 forever. And
since it started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I started it. Yeah. But like it's never really been me in charge. It's been every single person that's involved in Future 16 that's been there.
Yeah.
And I think female involvement in film is going to like skyrocket.
Yeah.
Like,
because it's never really been a female industry.
Yeah.
Ever. Like because only recently... No, that's bollocks.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of something.
I think, like, the days of, like, producers using their power, like Harvey Weinstein.
I'm talking about Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, I'm talking about
that's Harvey very Weinstein recent right news. Now.
Like, right. I think the power play between producers and actresses is going to be a lot more smaller now.
Yeah, especially since this case of Weinstein, yeah. Because people are now less scared to speak out because. Ages ago, if you spoke out about it, you lose your job.
Yeah, and like Hitchcock is my favorite director of all time.
He's a creepy dude.
But what he did to one actress, I forgot her name, made her not work in film for the rest of her life, and I think that's just like
horrible.
Yeah,
I mean it's a different time. Like you got to put that into account. Even though that's Harvey Weinstein's offense, is it? I was brought up in a different time, but Hitchcock was really brought up in a different time.
Yeah,
like it was okay to treat women wrong then, which it wasn't. Like obviously, yeah. It wasn't okay to treat women wrong, but like a cultural thing.
Like I think the power play is going to be very different in film.
Mm. Like, much more female because female directors are skyrocketing.
Yeah.
But Mick said in what Mick said in
Mick is our film teacher. By yeah. Way.
In one of our film classes, was the only way we're gonna get true quality. In a filming, I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm delaying my sentences. In the film world, is by having like a female director, but doing a direction job and being like not a selling point, being like, oh, she's female, exactly. Support a female exactly. Director, just a female director doing female thing, like yeah. Not doing female things, doing movie things.
Like leave in the comments, like this is a really hard question, but what film have you seen that is like created by black people that stars black people that's not about black people?
It's not like the only film I know that's 100% black is Moonlight.
Yeah, and that's about black
people. That's about black people, yeah.
I think that's like the diversity in film is about to change a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that's amazing.
Yeah, really positive because diverse groups of people work well together because they're from different backgrounds.
Yeah,
like that's just how things work.
Like, let me tell you something about Elam right now.
Go chat tell me about Elam.
I know I've been talking about Elam a lot, but
it's because it's good school. That's why
I love Elam. Oh, I need to get out in a second. 5 minutes.
All right, cool.
So we got to wrap up in like 2 minutes.
All right, go really quick.
Digby, just wrap up.
Thank you very much for watching the Future 16 podcast. I've been your host, Digby, and I've been joined by Annika Rahman.
Yeah. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and we'll be back next week.
Goodbye.
With a new guest.
All right, cool.
Bye, friends.